words of my mouth and the thoughts of my mind be acceptable to you, Lord, as I impart this talk to your congregation here at Plains Church. My talk today is a mixture of some scripture readings and then my thoughts on that. Like I said earlier, Park Church is similar to Plains. We share a minister. We share sort of a history. I've been a member of Park Church for 45 years or so, seen ups and downs, as Plains Church has seen ups and downs over the past four decades. And anyway, I'll start. The church. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 4. Now Solomon proposed to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal palace for himself. Solomon assigned 70,000 men to bear burdens and 80,000 to quarry in the hill country and 3,600 to oversee them. Behold, I am about to build a house for the name of the Lord my God and dedicate it to him for the burning of incense, of sweet spices before him, and for the regular arrangements of the showbread and for burnt offerings, mornings and evenings, on the Sabbath, and the new moons and the appointed feasts of the Lord of our God. Now Solomon is a major figure, of course, in the Old Testament, the wisest guy out there. My personal hero of the Old Testament is David. Well, because of his ups and downs, which I think we all go through. But Solomon goes on telling us what he's going to do for the Lord. He's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he's going to make God happy. I understand Solomon's desire to please God, but I'm a little taken aback about his hubris in doing so. I think God wants our worship, devotion, for us to rely on him and bring our sorrows to him. If the structure of the church makes it easier for us to come to God, then I think he looks at us and says, well done. Your church. This is Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I write, I know your works. Behold, I set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word with patient understanding, endurance. I will keep you from the hour of the trial that is coming. You know that Park and Plains was entering a new year recently with new challenges, choices, and opportunities. Don't shy away from challenges. Pray for guidance and strength to meet and overcome them. Before you make a choice, seek the Lord's will. Talk to those you love. Find out what they think. Sit down and talk to those you don't always agree with. They may have a different perspective. Don't make snap decisions like me and look for advice afterwards, which is what I do. That's why I like David so much. David was one of those people that went ahead and did things, then checked with God to see if it was all right. And when he found out it wasn't, asked for forgiveness. Well, you should probably reverse that and seek God's will first before you do stuff. Maybe you were right in the first, maybe I was right at first, but wouldn't it be easier on ourselves if we ask for guidance and advice beforehand? Every choice leads to new choices, which leads to opportunities. What about the opportunities that await you in Plains Church in 2023. Opportunity to grow? Certainly. Opportunity to invite new people to church, join the choir. You should start a choir because you already have a lead singer, and she's amazing. Where was I? Praise band, bell ensemble, Sunday school, although after I reached the age of 12 or 13, I didn't like the term Sunday school. That was for kids. How about Sunday study? That sounds more mature. If you're hesitant to put your name in the ring for elder or deacon, did you know that the various committees are always looking for ad hoc members? Your input would be welcome, and it might entice you to go the next step further when the opportunity arises. My church, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. I believe in part there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine be recognized. I once read in a book that Billy Graham said, if two people agree on everything, one of them is superfluous. Don't be afraid to be a contrarian. I can give you lessons if needed. Come together as a church body. Remember after the, well, this is about part. Remember after the dump truck incident? Do you remember hearing about that? Well, we thought it was terrible. It turned out to be almost like a spiritual reawakening because we went over to Park Hall and had our service there. We had just shortly before that started two services. You know, one contemporary, one conventional. But while we were over in Park Hall, we just had the one service, and it brought us closer together. And that time was a year or 18 months or so. So when perceived bad things happen, it can really make you grow. We all came together in worship, and that was our high points in the last several years. This coming year will give us an opportunity to reunite. Let's make the most of it. Get uncomfortable. Sit in different pews. Why don't you all move up? Sorry, I'm in Presbyterian church. With different people, meet different people, introduce yourself to someone you don't know, speak up about a prayer request. Years ago, it was after Ted Lawson. I don't know if any of you people remember Ted Lawson from Zillion Oval, but anyway, he was a minister there for several years. He retired, and we had an interim minister. Her name was Maxine Pardee. She marched to a different tune. I remember talking to her, and she said that she thought John Lennon was a great theologian. And I thought, we're in for a surprise. But two things she did that had not happened at Park Church before. Every once in a while, whenever we would have a guest minister, he would ask for prayers from the congregation. That was his reaction. So, but she did that every Sunday. And finally, one person raised her hand and offered up a request for a prayer for the health of someone or help for someone or something along those lines. The next week, she asked the same thing. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Two people raised their hands. And that was, 30 years ago, roughly, maybe 35 years ago. Since then, prayer requests at Park Church is a central part of our service. And sometimes we get
half a dozen to a dozen prayer requests, not counting the ones that are handed in on prayer request cards because people don't like to speak up. So there's an idea, prayer request time. Offer up a personal testimonial. You don't have to be a polished speaker to say what's in your heart. Let's have one luncheon or coffee hour. We're having a coffee hour today, I guess, right? That's great. Because I love coffee. I've always said, the only person I know that I trust that doesn't drink coffee is my wife. So I hope you all drink coffee. Tell your kids to invite a friend. Invite your own friends. Ask someone if they need a ride. That's your outreach lesson for the day. Now this says Park Church, which again, it was addressed to Park Church, but let's put in Plains Church here. Revelations chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. People are knocking at our door. They're looking for something. They aren't even sure what they're looking for. Answers, help, friends, something to believe in. I think our church can be a great help to them, not by preaching to them, but by greeting them and listening, welcoming and inviting. Every day is a new chance to change direction, find new streets, make new friends, change our outlook. If we continue to do what we have always been doing, we will get the same results we have received in the past. Be different. Shake things up. Go where you haven't gone before. Take the church where it hasn't gone before. I love a challenge, but I need a goal and a roadmap. The church needs a goal and a roadmap. Years ago, when I managed loan offices, I had goals. When I was promoted to manager of my first office, it was ranked as one of the least performing offices in the state. High delinquency, low profit, low number of loans. I decided to set goals for myself and my staff. Greet everyone that came into the office, shake their hands, ask if they needed a new loan. If they were just making a payment, thank them and remind them that we have money to lend. If they were behind on their payments, sit down with them and offer solutions to their problems. No one wants to be reminded that they are damaging their own credit. About halfway through our second year, the office had the lowest delinquency, second highest profit, and based on the office of its size, the best loan amount gained. Years later, I had a similar goal at a different company, employed the same roadmap. That office became the number one office in the country. I was rewarded with a year's salary as a bonus, and Allie and I retreated to a company-paid vacation to Epcot Center. I'm telling you this not to brag about myself, maybe just a little bit, but to tell you what can be accomplished if you use a roadmap, set goals, and follow the map. If a money lender can succeed, just think what a church can do. Now, this is God's church. This is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27 and 29. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her,
so that he can sanctify her, cleanse her, washing with water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that the church might be holy and without blemish. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. That sounds all well and good, but what can we do? Or what can I do? I don't know, but know this. If a traveling preacher and his 12 followers from various backgrounds who didn't always get along and sometimes let their pride and prejudices lead them to fight and argue among themselves change the history of the world, then what do you think you can do? After all, you do have Christ. Here is something that has been in my head and heart for some time now. And this last thing came to me in a dream. Sort of strange, but I've been trying to work it into a talk for a couple years, and this is just a little bit of it. I've been praying about it off and on. I get the same answers. The letters DDS. She came to me in a dream, and they just keep resounding in my head. I believe they stand for drugs, depression, and suicide. So the goal is to minister to those who suffer under these or are victims, either themselves or people they know. I believe God's church is a reward, so we have a goal to reach. Now we need a roadmap. An idea is to have guest speakers from various professions. A minute or more for missions, let's say, from law enforcement, medicine, counseling, rehab centers, and or regular people recovering from DDS. If this sounds worthwhile, I'm asking for your help. I also want you to know that any issue that has been in your head and heart, we welcome it, and I am sure the church will lend its support. Now, a fellow friend and fellow elder at Park Church, Jack McMichael, I don't know if anybody here knows him, but anyway, he says to me all the time, Barry, the congregation likes when you speak because it's a short talk. Well, let me tell you something. It takes me weeks to put together a 10-minute talk. I don't know how a minister does it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because it's a hard job to get in front of people and talk and keep their attention. So I don't know how a preacher does it every week. And that's my sermon or talk. Any questions?